The following is a review of the corporate finance principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by CFA Institute. This topic is also covered in cost of capital. We will address the first two LOS for this topic together. They ask us to calculate and interpret the weighted average cost of capital of a company and to describe how taxes affect the cost of capital from different capital sources. The capital budgeting process involves discounted cash flow analysis. To conduct such analysis, you must know the firm's proper discount rate. This topic review discusses how, as an analyst, you can determine the proper rate at which to discount the cash flows associated with a capital budgeting project. This discount rate is the firm's weighted average cost of capital, or WACC, and is also referred to as the marginal cost of capital, or MCC. On the right, or liability side, of a firm's balance sheet, we have debt, preferred stock, and common equity. These are normally referred to as the capital components of the firm. Any increase in a firm's total assets will have to be financed through an increase in at least one of these capital accounts. The cost of each of these components is called the component cost of capital. Throughout this review, we focus on the following capital components and their component costs: the cost of debt, the after-tax cost of debt, the cost of preferred stock, and the cost of common equity. The rate at which the firm can issue new debt is the yield to maturity on existing debt. This is also called the before-tax component cost of debt. The after-tax cost of debt is the before-tax cost of debt times the quantity 1 minus the firm's marginal tax rate. The after-tax component cost of debt is used to calculate the WACC. The cost of common equity is the required rate of return on common stock and is generally difficult to estimate. In many countries, the interest paid on corporate debt is tax deductible. Since we are interested in the after-tax cost of capital, we adjust the cost of debt for the firm's marginal tax rate. Since there is typically no tax deduction allowed for payments to common or preferred stockholders, there is no equivalent deduction to the cost of preferred or common equity. How a company raises capital and how they budget or invest it are considered independently. Most companies have separate departments for the two tasks. The financing department is responsible for keeping costs low and using a balance of funding sources: common equity, preferred stock, and debt. Generally, it is necessary to raise each type of capital in large sums. The large sums may temporarily overweight the most recently issued capital, but in the long run, the firm will adhere to target weights. Because of these and other financing considerations, each investment decision must be made assuming a WACC, which includes each of the different sources of capital, and is based on the long-run target weights. A company creates value by producing a return on assets that is higher than the required rate of return on the capital needed to fund those assets. The WACC, as we have described it, is the cost of financing firm assets. We can view this cost as an opportunity cost. Consider how a company could reduce its costs if it found a way to produce its output using fewer assets, say less working capital. If we need less working capital, we can use the funds freed up to buy back our debt and equity securities in a mix that just matches our target capital structure. Our after-tax savings would be the WACC based on our target capital structure times the total value of the securities that are no longer outstanding. For these reasons, anytime we are considering a project that requires expenditures, comparing the return on those expenditures to the WACC is the appropriate way to determine whether undertaking that project will increase the value of the firm. This is the essence of the capital budgeting decision. Since a firm's WACC reflects the average risk of the projects that make up the firm, it is not appropriate for evaluating all new projects. It should be adjusted upward for projects with greater than average risk, and downward for projects with less than average risk. The weights in the calculation of a firm's WACC are the proportions of each source of capital in a firm's capital structure. The WACC is calculated as the percentage of debt in the capital structure times the after-tax cost of debt, plus the percentage of preferred stock in the capital structure times the cost of preferred stock, plus the percentage of common stock in the capital structure times the cost of common equity. For example, suppose a company's target capital structure is 45% debt, 5% preferred stock, and 50% common stock. Its before-tax cost of debt is 8%, its cost of equity is 12%, its cost of preferred stock is 8.4%, and its marginal tax rate is 40%. The company's WACC will be 0.45 times 0.08 times 1 minus 0.4 plus 0.05 times 0.084 plus 0.5 times 0.12. This comes to 0.0858, or about 8.6%. The next LOS is to describe the use of target capital structure in estimating WACC and how target capital structure weights may be determined. The weights in the calculation of WACC should be based on the firm's target capital structure, that is, the proportions based on market values of debt, preferred stock, and equity that the firm expects to achieve over time. In the absence of any explicit information about a firm's target capital structure from the firm itself, an analyst may simply use the firm's current capital structure based on market values as the best indication of its target capital structure. If there has been a noticeable trend in the firm's capital structure, the analyst may want to incorporate this trend into his estimate of the firm's target capital structure. For example, if a firm has been reducing its proportion of debt financing each year for 2 or 3 years, the analyst may wish to use a weight on debt that is lower than the firm's current weight on debt in constructing the firm's target capital structure. Alternatively, an analyst may wish to use the industry average capital structure as the target capital structure for a firm under analysis. For example, if the market values of a firm's capital are $8 million in debt outstanding, $2 million in preferred stock outstanding, and $10 million in common stock outstanding, for a total of $20 million in capital, the firm's target capital structure based on market weights is 40% debt, 10% preferred stock, and 50% common stock. For the industry average approach, we would simply use the arithmetic average of the current market weights for each capital source from a sample of industry firms. The next LOS requires us to explain how the marginal cost of capital and the investment opportunity schedule are used to determine the optimal capital budget. A company increases its value and creates wealth for its shareholders by earning more on its investment in assets than is required by those who provide the capital for the firm. A firm's WACC may increase as larger amounts of capital are raised. Thus, its marginal cost of capital, the cost of raising additional capital, can increase as larger amounts are invested in new projects. This is illustrated by an upward-sloping marginal cost of capital curve. Given the expected returns, or IRRs, on potential projects, we can order the expenditures on additional projects from highest to lowest IRR. This will allow us to construct a downward-sloping investment opportunity schedule. The intersection of the investment opportunity schedule with the marginal cost of capital curve identifies the amount of the optimal capital budget. The intuition here is that the firm should undertake all those projects with IRRs greater than the cost of funds, the same criterion developed in the capital budgeting topic review. This will maximize the value created. At the same time, no projects with IRRs less than the marginal cost of the additional capital required to fund them should be undertaken, as they will erode the value created by the firm. Our next LOS is to explain the marginal cost of capital's role in determining the net present value of a project. One cautionary note is in order regarding the simple logic behind the optimal capital budget. All projects do not have the same risk. The WAC is the appropriate discount rate for projects that have approximately the same level of risk as the firm's existing projects. This is because the component costs of capital used to calculate the firm's WAC are based on the existing level of firm risk. To evaluate a project with risk greater than the firm's average risk, a discount rate greater than the firm's existing WAC should be used. Projects with below average risk should be evaluated using a discount rate less than the firm's WAC. An additional issue to consider when using a firm's WAC or marginal cost of capital to evaluate a specific project is that there is an implicit assumption that the capital structure of the firm will remain at the target capital structure over the life of the project. These complexities aside, we can still conclude that the NPVs of potential projects of firm average risk should be calculated using the marginal cost of capital for the firm. Projects for which the present value of the after-tax cash inflows is greater than the present value of the after-tax cash outflows should be undertaken by the firm.